There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always is my trusty co-host, Rob Langevin.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin? And with us this week is a special guest from a special site, playtaga.com, John Whalen. How's it going, John?
It's going great, Rob. Thank you very much. And with you and me is today's special guest host, Kevin DeVries of the EPL Roundtable. Kev, say hello to the people.
Hey, guys. That was a terrific. You know, we call ourselves the FPL Roundtable, and that might be the first time we did anything round other than drinks so out of round glasses.
Who's the pivot man in this circle?
No, you know, I think we're finally running the triangle offense. Yeah. And I think
does it work still? Does that even still work?
Well, definitely not in New York. Shout out to all the Knicks fans that are sad. But hey, Knicks fans, it could be worse. There are still the Nets.
Hey, soccer fans, the Knicks are a basketball team. That's why they're traded in New York City, America.
And also they're bad. The Nets, also in New York. Well, technically Brooklyn, the city with two O's. And they're awful. They're really bad. And I actually got to go to draft night for the NBA last year and was there when all of the New Yorkers booed Kristaps Porzingis, who they'd never heard of, and now he's pretty much their second best player.
Draft dropper.
Yeah, I drop all the names of drafts I attend. Unfortunately, the NFL draft moved from New York the year I finally moved there. Which was super rude. But anyway, I digress. We're here to talk about a little bit of fantasy soccer. You know the drill. We're talking price changes, start sits, our 65 million-pound challenge that we're doing with Anfield Index Fantasy Football Show. Zach and Nick over there are great guys. Be sure to give them a look. And then we'll talk to John about weird questions that Rob will inevitably have, and then our captains and our teams. I will start off with price changes, my very own self, starting with Tottenham's own Dele Alli, who rises to 6-1. And obviously he's been terrific thus far, but I do want to keep an eye on what happens with Moussa Dembele. I wrote an update for this, funnily enough, John, on playtaga.com today, talking about the Moussa Dembele injury and what that will mean and what kind of knock-on effect that will have at Tottenham. Because it's possible that Dele Alli gets pushed back in the formation, pushing Eriksen to the middle, which opens up a spot for a winger, say Nacer Chadli or Heung-Min Son. Or Eriksen stays where he is out left, Dele Alli stays right behind Harry Kane, and then you have a player like Mason or Benteleb coming in like for like. This isn't a situation that I love as a Dele Alli owner, which I am. This is not a hypothetical. I do obviously have him in FPL, but just kind of keep an eye on how this progresses. If there was an order for players that I think are most likely to take Dembele's spot, remember this spot on an actual football pitch changes based on formation, but probably Son, Chadli, Mason, Benteleb in that order of players most likely to get more playing time now that Moussa Dembele is out. Another Tottenham player on the rise, which makes it really convenient that I started this, but those longtime listeners know I always start this segment, but it's just super convenient this week. Eriksen up to 8.6. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to throw it to you guys here in a sec, but he's getting a bit pricey for me, to be honest. He has been creating just insane amounts of chances, more than anyone in the league over the last five, catching up to Mesut Ozil, and by catching up, I mean still about 30 behind. But he has some pretty decent matchups against Swansea, Villa, and Bournemouth in the next five. Formation shift, I already mentioned. It could cause issues for him because defenses can shift focus onto him a bit more away from Dembele, who was cruising through midfields previously. I'm not saying to sell him, but I'm not necessarily saying you should buy in now either. What's your guys' take?
Yeah, John, I'll let you take this one first. You're the guest.
Oh, thank you so much. Is this the part where you and I just banter so that Kev can't just keep talking about Tottenham?
Yeah, just keep
going. The thing about Kevin Vimmer.
It's a physical inevitability.
One thing I will say about Mr. DeVries' Christian Eriksen is that he has 88 chances created this season with 10 assists. That is a very reasonable proportional ratio that we can expect him to continue to have throughout the rest of the season. So while he may not end up catching Mesut Ozil, And I mean, you'd have to go on quite the tear, as would Mr. Harry Kane, to catch Mesut Ozil's 17 fantasy assists. I do think he's shortly going to surpass Riyad Mahrez, with whom he's level on 10 assists. Mahrez has only created 52 chances. So if you're looking at somebody in that mid-tier range for pricing, I actually don't have a huge problem. As Kevin mentioned, you know, with Swansea, West Ham, Aston Villa, and Bournemouth as four of the upcoming five matches, the only interesting or intriguing or possibly downturn he's going to have is that week 29 home match to Arsenal. And frankly, after watching Arsenal this past week and in handling that pressing attacking midfielder, I'm not going to put Christian Eriksen in the Messi class. But I will say that he's certainly capable of picking up an assist. And honestly, all he needs is either an assist, or if you're playing in a draft format or a cash game format, you know, a couple crosses, a couple of chances created, and he's certainly going to justify the price.
Yeah. For the 8.6 that he's currently pushing, you know, he's coming into that questionable ownership, look somewhere else, somewhere cheaper, because you got to fit in parts otherwhere. I just looked at the assists, and I'll even throw this out there right now. Dele Alli has 8 assists in 140 less minutes played, and I say he finishes the season with more than Eriksen. Wow. So that's how much of a believer I am not in Christian Eriksen at his 8.6. So I'd rather have Dele Alli. Of course, everybody would because of the price, but I know we're talking about Christian Eriksen. So his 8.6 price tag compared to what you're looking to get out of him for the matchups that he's going to have, you know, I'd probably downshift into a lower price range in the 7.1, 7.0 range to like a Willian or someone like that. Even a Barkley, if you don't even own Ross Barkley, he's 7.4. So from that standpoint, I'm not a true believer in Christian Eriksen, only because the price tag keeps rising. So he's becoming harder and harder to fit into your roster with the pieces that you need to compete.
Rob, can I just jump in right there for a second? Because sure. I think there's not a misunderstanding, but I think people have selective memory when it comes to Dele Alli. You know, they know that he was a part-time player at the start of the season, and then they remember those big performances of late. So a lot of people think that he hasn't recorded the same number of minutes, for example, that Christian Eriksen has. But if my numbers are up to date, Eriksen has 1,870 minutes played so far. Dele Alli actually has 1,751. He's only literally a match and change behind Eriksen. But despite only being a match and change behind him, he has 40 chances created to Eriksen's 88. So while he has 7 goals and 8 assists, some of that's been a touch fortuitous. He has 20 shots on target. Eriksen has 26. 7 of Ali's shots on target have gone in. Obviously, only 5 of Eriksen's have. But if you start looking at
where regression... 3 of those are from free kicks.
Sure. But if you start looking at where regression's going to come in, like, Eriksen's putting up the better underlying numbers, and he's doing it in roughly the same amount of minutes that Ali's played, despite the fact that in everyone's in collective perception, mine included, you just remember those big performances from a young Alli, you know, followed up by an endless week of memes where he's just waving at you on Twitter. So, like, you know, I mean,
which is hilarious. But I don't usually do this, but I'm going to back up Rob here and say that that difference in minutes played per counting stat is worth it for a 6.1 to an 8.6. That's 2.5.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I don't think any of us are saying Christian Eriksen's bad. I mean, you literally compared him to Messi just minutes ago. Yeah. But only point per pound because of British money. I don't know. I see what you're coming from, John. I do agree that a lot of people are forgetting that Eriksen has missed some time this season. That Dele Alli basically started getting his starts week 5, which I think is a lot earlier than a lot of people are thinking in their mind because of his recent fantasy success. But I think the price change is really where he's going with that.
Only for the FPL official will I make this one additional point. Mm. I think that if you can acquire either Eriksen or Alli in a draft game like Taga or one of the other draft games in a cash game, depending on where their prices are, and if you're looking at cash games lately, their prices are pretty much equal. In the FPL official, I would still be willing to pay the premium for Christian Eriksen because Dele Alli is owned in 31.3% of leagues.
That's fair.
Christian Eriksen is only owned in 10%.
Here's my question for you on that, though. Would you be willing to own both, as many people may?
I am willing to own both. I am actually in the process of figuring out my wild card ahead of the short slate, the eight matches that we're going to see in game week 27. And currently I'm trying to figure out which three Spurs I'm going to have in. Mm. Obviously, we all know I'm going to have Eric Dier in there somewhere. Obviously, based on my earlier comments, I'm going to have Christian Eriksen. So I'm trying to make a determination about where I feel Harry Kane's fitness is after missing out on the Europa League following the surgery with the broken nose. Mm. I'm looking at him. I'm looking at Dele Alli. I'm looking at possibly adding, on a lark, someone like Kieran Trippier, just because I think that there's a chance he might get that start and could have a very, very big return in a match where they're playing Swansea, who have not been particularly proficient in front of goal, especially since the departure of Jonjo Shelvey to Newcastle. Mm. And I'm weighing all of that.
Yeah,
I will have three Spurs in my lineup come the end of the wild card.
You beautifully segued for me, so I appreciate it. Into me talking more about Tottenham. So you raise an interesting point on Trippier and Walker rotating at right back. Now, the unfortunate thing for fantasy owners is that neither are ownable, and I'll tell you why. So I waited until we had four consecutive weeks where I could say this with confidence. But they are held in equal esteem by Mauricio Pochettino, and regardless of competition, alternate matches. So that if one is tired out, the other one is fresh. So regardless of if it's two consecutive Premier League matches, a Premier League and an FA Cup, which we're now out of, a Premier League and a Europa League, they always alter. So this weekend against Crystal Palace, we saw Walker and Rose as the combination, which means Thursday we'll see Trippier and Davis, which means that the weekend we will see Walker and Rose again, which sucks. I will be the first one to say that. I picked up Danny Rose, thought he was a great pick. I was told at our summit in the summer how silly I was for taking Monreal over Rose in that draft. Monreal, as far as I'm aware, the highest scoring defender in the Tauga system right now, which is very frustrating. But Danny Rose and Ben Davis on the left, Kieran Trippier and Kyle Walker at right back, they're alternating every other game. If you have another one, like in our Tauga League, I do have Dier and Rose. So Dier is the constant. Rose is the one you play when he's in, which it looks like he will be this weekend, but I'd probably avoid Trippier and Davis this weekend. And in the official game, I'd avoid both because you'll just waste a lot of transfers trying to figure out who's starting at the wingbacks for Tottenham.
You're right that Nacho Monreal is the highest scoring player in Tauga with 305 and three-quarter points.
Not to put anyone on blast, an Arsenal fan told me to not do that.
Yeah. Anyway, Virgil van Dijk, though, is actually just behind him at 303, and he's played 300 fewer minutes. So, like, starting next week, you don't have to feel quite so bad about
it. I can't talk about Virgil van Dijk. I picked him up. He's the one that I wasted my summer waiver pick on, traded him for Idrissa Gueye, then dropped him later, and picked him back up while Van Dijk has blown away every defender that I have. Although Branislav Ivanovic was a sneaky pickup by me, if I do say so myself. All right, kind of continuing with the Tauga theme, no surprise there. A player that you pimped very early on in our conversations, not Roberto Firmino, who has been great, doesn't play this week. Dimitri Payet, who I believe is on your team, rises to 8.4 because duh. And I know a lot of people were putting it up to him. This is what I said last week, is that last week was his week to prove it to me. He was the only player I had with a good matchup. Captain him, comes through with 13 points in the official game. Tell us, John, why were you so in on Payet early? And, you know, tell the people why 8.4 is super worth it.
I mean, the reason I was in on Payet early is just track record. And I saw... Essentially, I did a little bit of comparison for players that had similar stats and skill sets coming out of foreign leagues into the Premier League, making a judgment call. And you can kill me for a couple of things this year. Certainly, you can kill me for Roberto Firmino early, but not late. You can kill me for not being more vociferous about telling people to get Riyad Mahrez on their team at the start of the season when I had been pimping him heavily since January of last year for people to get them in his team. But with Dimitri Payet, like, I think that even when he was injured, obviously in this format, in the salary cap format, I said sell him as soon as you can and buy him back when you can. He is still the fifth highest scoring player in Tauga's system. The only players that he's behind are Eriksen, Vardy, Mahrez, and Ozil. And that's a testament to his all-round game. You know, you're talking about a player right now who has 76 chances created, 6 assists. From his 18 shots on target, I know we just talked about how ridiculous Dele Alli's return is for his goals, but he has 7 goals from 18 shots on target. Yeah. Not only is that unsustainable as a general rule, but the crazy thing about Payet is it doesn't look unsustainable, right?
Right, I mean, no, like, the places he's putting the ball every time is always terrific, yeah.
Yeah, he's like the he's the anti James Milner for a bad example, or he's the anti Cristiano Ronaldo for like a high end example. He doesn't require 150 shots to score 40 goals, and he doesn't require 140 shots to score 5 goals, depending on which player you're talking about. But I think that there's no player better positioned to see out his current value. Let me put it this way: I think there's no player better positioned for the ownership that he has, and make no mistake, Dimitri Payet's ownership has bounced back. He's still at 24.4%, nearly one quarter of all teams in a salary cap league own him. He's 100% owned in draft leagues on our platform on playtaga.com. But I don't see another player that's better positioned to earn in excess of what his current value is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you need to be looking at with 10 weeks left in the season.
Yeah, Payet, an easy top 5 midfielder till the end of the year, arguably top 5, period. In players that are falling in price, we'll throw this to Rob here in a sec. It's your boy, Marko Arnautovic. You talked me into bringing him in the £65 million challenge. He suffers a late illness, makes a late scratch in that match. It's weird that he's dropping now, as he has 2 consecutive matches against bottom 4 defenses in the league. And I know Stoke have been struggling, and I think a part of that may be because of Arnautovic, who, again, was a late scratch. But he could bounce back, and in a big way, in the coming weeks. So, if you wouldn't mind, Rob, preach the gospel of Arnautovic.
Well, yeah, like you said, he took up ill last week, and we kind of got a little burned in the 65 mil challenge. But
we took an average of, not an average, a total of negative 3 points from our 2 transfers.
Yeah, we just might as well just have given points back to the AI folks.
But, we literally did. We doubled them week 1, and they doubled us week 2.
Yeah.
But we are still winning 60-57.
Yeah, but I made the Arnautovic move. No, I knew that they were going to come and make the contest more than 2 weeks because I knew they were shifty and grimy. And then they wanted to make up rules of their own and stuff.
To be fair, they let us make up a rule, which is, John, if you don't know, we have a £65 million challenge going on with the Infold Index. We'll talk about it later. And the rules we changed when Nick Truss was on is we get 3 transfers instead of 2 this week. And then the last week of the competition, no transfers for either side. And we get to triple captain a defender on the opposing team side.
That all sounds perfectly reasonable. So we're playing Tony Pulis rules.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but Rob, anyway, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you there. Arnautovic.
Yeah, I love Arnautovic. I've loved him all year. You know, he's a different player from when you look at your computer screen and you look at him and you look at his price, which is 6.4 or 6.3, I apologize, and you see him on the pitch, he's one of those guys that you'd love to watch because he seems like he's so in the game. I understand this game's played on a computer screen, it's played with numbers, and it's played with fake scoring and fake stats that you guys want to, well, they're not really fake stats, but they're stats. You understand? But when you watch this guy, you want to see a guy who's out there kicking the ball literally as hard as he can, even if it's to a teammate. That to me is a good thing. I love Arnautovic just for that standpoint because he looks like a guy who's just going out there slugging the ball and giving good investment at a 6.3 return. I could be wrong, but you know, from a standpoint of looking for a cheap fifth midfielder, Arnautovic is one of the guys for me.
Yeah, no disagreement from me here. Does anybody have final words before we take a 5-second break and head into start sits?
Oh, Roberto Firmino is currently number 24 in total scoring in Taga and number 21 in total scoring in the FPL, and he's only going to get better.
Except for this week when he doesn't play.
Right. But that's going to mean that he has a double game week upcoming, and I wanted to bring up the fact that double game weeks are going to apply in Taga just as they are in the FPL, and all of those Liverpool, Manchester United, Newcastle, and Everton players are players that you need to be paying attention to, and please don't sell them at a loss just to have to buy them back at another loss in a week.
Yeah, really interesting point you make there, especially about adding in Manchester United and Everton players who could be historically in line for a triple game week, depending on the results of the FA Cup's next round, which would be insane, or a mini double game week. We'll see how all that breaks down. And now, a 5-second break for station identification.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, you're back. So that was a lie. It was just a random commercial exclusively for people in England. All right. So now we're going to head into start sits.
Oh, Governor, I think perhaps you've forgotten we've already come back to the show. There's no commercial. It's all part of the bigger picture. Rob, that is very offensive.
How could you? That sounded very similar to Abed and Troy's attempts at doing Inspector Spacetime, which was their attempt at Doctor Who on the
That is actually exactly what
awesome
I'm
show
that
community.
From.
Yeah.
This is Rob.
John, nice. Whatever. we can't talk about community on there. Okay. So for start sits, here's the deal. Rob always has a great under-the-radar guy. I always have a stereotypical big-name guy, and that doesn't change this week. For my forward, I propose Jamie Vardy, who's the most added player this week. So I'm not necessarily breaking new ground, but I do have some information and stats for you. League's leading goal scorer on 19 goals, facing a Norwich side in awful form, conceding an average of 3 goals per game over their last 5 matches. I did see an article earlier this week, which is why I felt I needed to mention this, saying that his shot conversion rate will drop. He scored 19 goals on just 41 shots on target, which, again, kind of citing what John was talking about, seems a little high. You'd expect quote-unquote regression, but that's how Leicester play. Anybody that's watched them play will realize that this is how they set up. They set up on the counter, and 3 or 4 times during a match, they lead to clear-cut chances, a stat which you mentioned Mahrez earlier, a stat that Mahrez is second in the league in creating is clear-cut chances, and Vardy is converting 1 in every 2 shots on target. So, in case people are wondering, is this going to drop off? Those stats seem unsustainable. In a normal setting, the answer to that would be yes, but this is how Leicester play. This is why every person loves to think Leicester are this great offensive attacking side, and then when Leicester play anybody's team, they're like, oh, they're awful. All they did was defend. That's what playing on the counter is, and I'm very frustrated from both a fantasy and a real-life aspect that so few people are able to grasp that concept. Now that I'm done lecturing you, how about a good striker in fantasy, which, if he plays, is Bojan? This week, he's half Spanish, half Croatian. I don't know which way to go with that. He gets the always vaunted, you get to face Aston Villa award. He had picked up a slight knock. I think that's why he was rested the last 2. This could be a really good differential play for you, as I'm sure a lot of people will be shying away. If he does get the start against Aston Villa, he scores. I'm just putting it out there. I could be wrong, but I'm probably not. But I might be. We'll see. Also, Enter Valencia is a matchup I like, especially now that West Ham can put its best midfield 3 behind the striker, Lanzini, Payet, and Antonio, now that Lanzini looks like he's back and fit. I will toss it to whoever wants to go next.
Rob.
Oh, shit.
No, wait, John. We meant John. Hey, Kev. So, Norwich City, they are third worst in the league behind only Newcastle and Sunderland in goals allowed away from home. They've given up 30 in their 13 matches away from home.
Wait, 30 in their 50, I want to say, total? That's not
30
great.
30 and 50, yes, 50 total. And their total is level for worst with Sunderland. Aston Villa sit on 26 goals allowed in their, their 13 matches away, which certainly isn't good. But I agree with you in saying that I believe Norwich is more likely to be breached by Jamie Vardy than I am thinking that BoJack Horseman will score against Aston Villa. And that is not just because I think that he may not get more than, say, 60 minutes in that match. I'm going to tout the dynamic duo of Odion Ighalo and Troy Deeney playing at home for Watford against AFC Bournemouth. And I am contemplating captaining Troy Deeney in my side. And that side does include Riyad Mahrez. It may well include Jamie Vardy once I play my wild card. It's certainly going to include three Spurs playing at home against Swansea. But I think that Watford side, particularly given that Ighalo and Deeney are responsible for some 80%+ of the goals that that team has scored all season in the Premier League, is going to be the way to go. I do like West Ham against Sunderland at home in the early kickoff on the 27th, but honestly, I don't know which player I can trust in West Ham. Obviously, he's in my side, but he might play a fantastic match and get 2 second assists. And this isn't hockey, so that doesn't help my fantasy team.
I love hockey, especially the hockey assist. Also, yeah, we'll get into a bit of controversy later with your Watford call. Rob, who do you got this week?
You know, you guys basically are hitting on everyone I had written down here this week.
yeah, I do that thing where I always list everyone, and then we also have John before we get to you. We'll switch it up in the next week.
I actually had two guys penciled in at forward, and John, you touched on one. One guy is Troy Deeney for me. The ownership, 4.5, going against Bournemouth. Anybody looking
Palace,
for
Palace, of course.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, what did I say? Palace? What?
I don't know. You didn't say that. Oh. Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah, I'm good. Sorry, man. they're playing Bournemouth. You know, anybody looking for an anti-Ighalo play or somebody to shift funds, Deeney's a guy. And I'm going to disagree completely with Bojan on you guys. I think he doesn't even start in this game, and I think Joselu gets a start. How's that?
Ooh, and I don't disagree with that at all, dude.
Yeah,
like,
he's been playing
well
when he has played.
And I think Joselu is the guy that scores for them this week. Through the midfield, I have another Stoke guy. I'm jumping on the Potters this week against Villa. I mentioned it to Kevin off air earlier today. And it's Ibrahim Athalay. Look at the ownership, 0.5%. Price tag, very, very tiny. He's got 30 points in his last six. Sounds like a good investment to me against a Villa squad that sucks. If anybody's looking for a better sneaky play, another guy that I love, Yannick Bolasie, going to be playing this week. So can't really go wrong when you have a love fest for a guy. On defense... anybody with a Leicester uniform does it for me. If you want to go hang out in Jamaica Compound with West Morgan, good for you.
Your personal friend.
Yeah, totally. We smoke tons and tons of stuff. And
definitely tobacco cough.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. For tobacco purposes only. And it's medicinal tobacco purposes only. and, you know, I'm a big fan of Christian Fuchs. Kevin is as well. You know, he's captain of his own country for a reason. So.
Yep, I think Christian Fuchs can officially be dubbed the official starting wing back of the FPL roundtable. Rob did just kind of cruise through a lot of those positions, so I'll try to catch up. You mentioned the Leicester boys. You know how the last time I just mentioned a super obvious player this week? Mahrez against Norwich is the no-duh award winner of the week. Payet against Sunderland, a very close second. I understand where you're coming from, John, but I have to trust Payet. It's partly because I'm so often wrong on big name players. Every time I captain Payet, he does the deed for me, and I very much appreciate that. Including last week where he put up 13. And Rob, I've mentioned how we like to be a little conservative on players on this podcast in the past. That usually we want to see a week before we buy in. But I think the Bolasie shout is a great one. He may just be worth breaking this rule for because Bolasie is still 11th. In successful take-ons in the league, despite having missed tons of matches, during which Crystal Palace have picked up, if I'm correct here, roughly zero Premier League wins since he got hurt. He's on 4 goals this season, which already matches his last season total. And with Kabai constantly creating instead of being involved in the final ball, John, kind of like you were talking about secondary assists, that's what Kabai's been doing. He's been playing the Modric role, and I will say Modric because I'm a Tottenham fan and because he's the best central midfielder ever graced the Premier League. But he's constantly creating instead of being involved in that final ball is Kabai. And I think Bolasie could finally become that link that gets Palace firing again. Zaha is so temperamental. He's unownable to me because of his highs and lows. You never know where that's going to fall, especially in the Premier League official game. But I think Bolasie offers that consistency where he's constantly putting the defense on the back foot. And I think the chances of him sending in crosses, you have Emmanuel Adebayor, who most of his career has been based, that's not true, but especially at Tottenham, has been based on goals happening in the inner box there in the penalty area. And then you have a side like Palace, who were third in the league in crosses sent in. You have Bolasie joining Zaha, who's top five in crosses successfully completed. You all of a sudden have an attack that's finally going to start finding its feet. Adebayor scores a great header at the weekend. I think we're going to start seeing Wickham a little bit less. I love Wickaldinho from the bottom of my heart, but I think Bolasie is really what helps bring all of that together. In defense, Tottenham against Swansea is something you don't hate. Also, I surprisingly like Bellerin and Monreal against a struggling Manchester United attack that's definitely without Wayne Rooney, although, as I mentioned to Dave Hendrick over there on them good old Anfield indexes, there's a possibility that United could become a lot more formidable in the coming weeks. That is a big if. But specifically, if Van Gaal is willing to implement the 5-3-2 that he ran with the Dutch national team at the last World Cup, that came in third, by the way, brush his shoulders off. But if he runs that formation, pairing Martial and Depay up top with Mata behind them, Herrera and Schneiderlin creating from deep in the midfield, that could potentially be their best 11, which Louis Van Gaal has never been able to figure out for United. So anyway, I'm sure a lot of people are looking at Arsenal and like, oh, Man United. But A, Man United have been awful this year. But B, now that I've convinced you that you should start Arsenal players, be a little concerned, because if they actually play that group of players that I just mentioned, they could be a little bit more formidable than Wayne Rooney, who tends to hold up their attack. Now that I've blabbered for a while, hey, John, who are your other starts?
Oh, well, with respect to Luka Modric, I'm just going to say that Xabi Alonso says hello. with respect to the title of this podcast, I think it should be called We All Love the Sound of Our Own Voices. And with respect to Yannick
Bolasie, be fair, we do, and we have great radio voices.
Fair enough. Yannick Bolasie hasn't started a Premier League match since the 19th of December. Like, I appreciate what you guys are saying, but there's no possible way that I am jumping on the Yannick Bolasie train right now.
I'm just saying it's late in the season. Maybe you can't wait to wait, if that makes any sense. Maybe you want to jump on the crest of that wave. I'm not doing it. Don't get that twisted. I'm just saying that if you're behind a lot, it could be an interesting way to make up a lot of points in a differential when a lot of people are waiting.
I don't disagree with that, but for £6 million, if you're going to look at midfielders that are, let's say, conservatively, like, owned in less than 5%, right? Because he's owned in 3%. Mark Albrighton, 5.5 million. Leicester still owned in only 5.5% selected, 4.9 million. Wes Houlihan, Norwich. We love Norwich. Johnny Howson, Wes Houlihan. That is a great matchup this week.
Johnny Howson is indeed my boy.
There we go. You know, even maybe if somehow Nathan Redmond finally starts getting the starts that he deserves. But Wilfried Zaha, 5.3% owned. 5.3 million, 2% owned, facing West Brom away, Sunderland away in the next two game weeks. I mean, all those guys are players that I'd rather own. And that's just based on, like, I know they're going to start. I know they're going to get minutes. I know they're not going to get pulled off in the 54th minute with a recurrence of a knee injury or hamstring injury. Like, it's just, I'm not willing to, the 0.4 million pound difference between Yohan Cabaye and Yannick Bolasie, I'm not willing to roll the dice there. I appreciate all of what you're saying, and I think it's certainly valid, but I'm sticking with Cabaye. For a midfield,
he doesn't get
play,
forward. He just doesn't. He does not contribute in the final third in any meaningful way.
It's absolutely true. He doesn't. But he is the person that touches the ball the most on that team. And
inarguable.
Right. And if I'm looking at someone who could possibly outperform his underlying stats, it's a player like that, right? It's a player like Juan Mata. It's a player like Yohan Cabaye, a player that gets the ball on his foot and is able to play it into an attacking position more frequently than anyone else. It may not pay off, but
yeah, I mean,
I'm
you mentioned
more comfortable.
What was it, December 9th or 19th when Lassie last played? Okay, yeah. So the last time that Yohan Cabaye scored more than two fantasy points in the official game was before that, on December 16th. Since then, his point totals in the official game, 0, 1, 2, 0, 2, 1, 2, 0, 2, 2. It's just not inspiring. I understand where you're coming from, where you're projecting forward. They do have better matchups. They had a tough run there. Nobelassi, which I mentioned, obviously hurt them. A lot of losses, a lot of goals conceded in that period. See, I'm more hesitant about Kabay just because he's so uninvolved when it comes to the final ball. I'm not saying that if hockey assists counted, which, by the way, the official stance of this on the show is that hockey assists should definitely count in fantasy. But since they don't, Modric would be amazing. You mentioned Xabi Alonso would also be amazing. So would Johan Kabay, but in the official game, at least, not worth your time. Now, in any draft league, in daily leagues, absolutely. Johan Kabay is a beast in all of those other facets. But in the official game where you're looking at goals, assists, and clean sheets to earn you a single point, he's not getting any of them at the moment.
That's totally fair, Kevin. I'm not going to fight with that. But like, I would still say...
But still don't get Bolasie.
Well, for 0.4 mil, no, I'm going to take the guy that I know is getting 90 minutes and all the underlying stats that point towards success.
Mm. Fair enough. Do you have defenders that you want to talk about, or did we pretty much cover that?
No, I mean, I tweeted out on the 23rd that the short slate was really messing with my top 40 ranks. I did the top 40 defender ranks this week on Playtaga. I think that Rob did the top 40 defender ranks as well.
Those are I'll probably publish. Jump in on midfield, but yeah.
Yeah, those are going to publish on Wednesday night. And my top five are Eric Dier, PVA, Creswell, Daniels, and Christian Fuchs. And I think that it's not just a matter of a short slate, but the fact that there are just a bunch of guys that are really kind of outperforming what we maybe thought that they were going to be able to do. I am not one of those people that's rating Charlie Daniels number two because I believe in his penalty ability. I'm rating it based solely on the underlying stats. I typically take penalties out of the equation, and he's just that good. And then also, you know, you're missing defenders from Newcastle, from Everton, from City, and from Liverpool. So he bumps up a couple spots. But I do like him. I think that I think if you look at my top 40, I ended up rating five Tottenham defenders. And I realize in a salary cap game, you can't do this, but if you're playing in a cash game or if you're playing in Playtaga, a draft game where you can make a change in your lineup until 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes before kickoff, pay attention on Sunday and see where Tottenham's lining up. And if they're playing Kieran Trippier or they're playing Ben Davies, or they're playing Wimmer, if they're playing whomever, Kyle Walker, start that guy. And you're going to be in the minority, and you're going to benefit greatly from it. That is the difference between finishing in the money and finishing outside this weekend, in my opinion.
Yeah, I waited until the FA Cup. Like I said, this is my first appearance, actually, where I've mentioned the Spurs rotation because I wanted to have that week where I was sure. If you want to have a week to be sure, that if my calculations are correct, this weekend we will see, because on Thursday we'll see Trippier and Davis. This weekend we'll see Walker, Alderweireld, Wimmer, and Rose. And if it's true this week, then you can lend that to your own thing. If you want to wait a week to make sure I'm right, that's fine. I watched more Tottenham than pretty much anybody could. But do keep an eye on that. I agree with you, John, that you do need to keep an eye on it. It does get kind of touchy, especially there. But in other formats where you have where you don't have to declare your lineup hours before that match will actually happen, that'll definitely benefit you. All right, Rob, we haven't heard from you in a while. What you got for sits, man?
Sits. I'll start in the back. I don't like United's matchup against Arsenal. Arsenal's coming off a game in the Champions League that they look a little going to come into the game a little pissed off, I think.
And United, they played annoyingly well too.
Yeah, in the first half they played well. That, you know, guys looked invisible to me, Messi and Neymar to me. But that they whatever they were doing in the first half didn't work in the second half because they completely got broken and Mertesacker just completely sucked.
Also, shout out to Flamini coming on and conceding a penalty in his first minute on the pitch.
Yeah, he got like a Gordie Howe hat trick in a minute. but anyway, United defense. You know, CBJ is iffy for this week. Could make a return. I don't even know if Darmian is completely healthy, so it's going to be a ragtag bunch in the back for United. So that's who I
think I did
on
see
defense.
Either Valencia or Young is back. I don't know which one, but in theory, one of them is okay for this week.
Yeah. That's who I got on defense.
I don't think that Valencia is back this week. I saw some comments. LVG said that he wasn't going to be ready for the Europa League. He's still coming back. So I think if Valencia, is back, he's a play. But I don't think that he's set for this weekend.
I also heard from LVG that he wants his players to be more horny. So
so take that as you will. Also, he showed his balls to all of his players.
So John Whalen in one hand, LVG in the other. Who are you going to believe?
Whichever one is
horny.
Well, one of us hasn't led Manchester United to their worst finish since the Premier League started.
Yeah, literally, yeah. Okay, so I will quickly run through my sits before we head over to John. Diego Costa up front. Now, I don't by any means think that this is the beginning of the end situation here, but it'll probably be a bit of a blip, especially considering what he's been doing in because they're facing what is basically an unbeatable defense. Chelsea are playing much better, to what I'm sure is Rob's delight. They're averaging 2 goals per game over the last 5, but unfortunately for them, Southampton are averaging 0 goals allowed per game over their last 5, mostly because they haven't conceded in their last 5. Hashtag math. Or maths, if you're listening from England. I don't know why you pluralize it. Be sure to tweet me and explain that to me. I have English friends, and they're not very good at English, which has led them to be incapable of explaining it to me. Also, bring out the bye-bye wagons for Watford forwards, unlike what John said, and a little bit to the sympathy towards Troy Deeney, which Rob mentioned, because it's for me, it's just too much like, and because we have an All-American crew on today, it's too much like the New Orleans Saints backfield from like 3 years ago, where you know two of them are scoring, but you don't know which ones, and you always have the wrong one every week. Like, I know, Rob, didn't you captain Ighalo in the last match week? Rob, maybe, possibly, filling in your time?
I did, actually.
Yeah, and then Deeney scores 2 goals. Yeah, I just don't want to be a part of this anymore. I have Ighalo at the moment. We'll talk about this later in our moves this week. I'm considering taking a -4 to bring in Vardy this week on an excellent matchup. But I'm just not all about this Watford attack this week. I know Bournemouth haven't been great, but they've been much better than you'd think. I think they're still top 14, which is not the most encouraging thing you'll ever hear. But what I'm saying is I don't think they're going to score more than 2 goals, and where are they going to come from? I don't know. Will a Watford striker score this weekend? Undoubtedly. I just can't tell you which one it is.
Unfortunately, it's like a guessing game. You know, John brought up the stat before. They have 29 goals in the year, and those two guys have 22. So
yeah, and Ighalo was providing all the assists before, but doesn't at the weekend. I don't know. It hurt. And by weekend, I mean like whatever, 7 weeks ago. Whatever the last match week was, that feels way too long ago.
Yeah, it's way, way long ago.
Yeah. All right, in midfield, obviously Barkley and Silva and anybody that's a midfielder that you have, maybe Wijnaldum if you still have held on to him because you're wrong and you didn't listen to Rob's advice like 3 weeks ago on his home-away splits, which are supposed to only be a thing in baseball, but apparently very much a thing for Jorginho Wijnaldum, who loves the home cooking. Sitting this week, Sigurdsson and AU. Is it entirely possible that Sigurdsson scores a revenge goal against Tottenham to ruin their day? Absolutely. But the Spurs defense is incredible this season. And this isn't just me boasting. It honestly took me this long to really brag about it. But this Tottenham defense ranks top 10 in every meaningful defensive statistic. Goals allowed, tackles, interceptions, blocks, clearances, clean sheets, and the list goes on. It looks like Spurs will have Lloris back by then. So I find it very hard to believe in a Swansea attack that's really stagnated lately. I loved the signing of Pulowski. A person that won't always be offside, just 2/3 of the offsides that Gomis was. He works really hard. He's a really good, well, not necessarily a target man, but he can hold up the ball, pass it back to the likes of Sigurdsson and AU. But you mentioned John at the top of the show, no more John Joe Shelby, which you'd think would be a detriment, but Ki-Soon Young dealing with his head injury. I don't really buy Jack Cork. I never have. I'm just not loving this Swansea side this week. They've had 3 really tough matches in a row with Arsenal, Southampton, and now Tottenham. After this, things start to look a lot better, but I'm sitting them this week. For defenders, I'm sitting West Ham defenders across the board. I love West Ham's attack against Sunderland. Don't get it twisted. You know what I'm saying? But their attack has been at least competent. But West, I don't know. I really do like enter Valencia up top. But for the West Ham defenders, I'm just not really convinced. They've managed to get just one clean sheet in their last six matches. And Sunderland, they're not the best attack in the world, but they failed to score just once in their last five. Six goals scored over that period. I don't know. I think that Sunderland will score that one annoying goal that renders the likes of Cresswell and Adrian useless this week. And Adrian is somebody we'll talk about a little bit later. But I really do like this West Ham defense. I think putting Ogbonna in is a benefit to them. I think they got him for a song from Juventus. And I thought Juve treated him poorly. But I just don't think this is the week. I know Sunderland, you think they're immediately bad. But what are the odds that Defoe, who used to play for them, by the way, just gets a random long ball and tucks one in? Or Patrick Van Aanholt, as he's been doing lately, crosses just all over everyone on the byline, then cuts in and randomly puts a cross into the net on accident. I just think it's too likely that Sunderland gets a goal to promote West Ham this week.
Yeah, I agree that West Ham is kind of shaky this week. I still love Cresswell, but I don't trust Sunderland's attack as much as I don't trust West Ham's defense, if that makes any kind of sense.
They betrayed us so much.
Yeah, you know what? I thought they had a nice little string of games, and I thought they could string something along. And you know what? I just completely guessed. I completely got it completely twisted and wrong. Adrian especially. Cresswell's been okay because he's at least contributing some kind of stats.
And he'll pick up bonuses here and there, yeah.
More in other formats than the official game. But, you know, I'm leery of West Ham. You know, they're shaky, but I do like Ogbonna in the back, as you mentioned. You know, I have Defoe listed as my sit in here because I don't think he's going to be due for a revenge game. I don't even think he gets a full 90, maybe even not even a start, but that's just me. This is not a week, especially with the trim down schedule, to be gambling on much of anything. You basically want 12 guys and 12 guys only this week. That's all you need this week is to play 12. You know, you need one bench guy to cover you. So that's all you need.
Yeah, and there are plenty of good defensive matchups. Leicester against Norwich, you have to like. Southampton, I already mentioned, against Chelsea. I realize that Chelsea are revitalized, but Southampton have just been shutting down everything. Stoke versus Villa. I know Stoke have been struggling, but Aston Villa are far worse. Crystal Palace against West Brom, who can't score a single goal for their entire lives. Tottenham against Swansea. This isn't the week you need to gamble on West Ham. I know that the fixtures are a little bit shorter because you have four teams missing, but there are plenty of good matchups from some of the better defenses in the league that I think you need to start over them.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree that this is a good week for defense. Most of the guys on those teams are rostered a lot of places, and if you're looking to fill in the gaps between now and especially for week 30 when there's another blank week, it's a good place to look at for players that are not missing any weeks in both weeks. Especially the Leicester and, I believe, Southampton.
Yeah. All right, so John, call us Lethally Nope, because we just steamrolled that conversation. Who are your sits for the week?
Well, guys, I just want to let you know, I happen to be in possession of a Gray Sports Almanac 2001 to 2050. Okay. So I know the final results of the West Ham, Sunderland, Leicester, Norwich, Southampton.
Oh, sweet, you went back in time, yeah.
Nice. Well, I went forward in time. But
wait, you went
I'm
forward
here,
to the past?
That's correct. That's the title of the film, I believe.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's like Waking Up Dead. That's like Waking Up Dead. Can't wake up dead.
What do they call it? I'm the Time Traveler movie. My grandmother.
Inspector Space Time.
It. Yeah, it's awesome.
Did you actually rob plutonium from the Libyans, or is this a whole?
Well, I was part of the Arab Spring.
Is that? Oh, nice.
What if you're your own grandfather?
I was part of the Poland Spring.
I was part of the Irish Spring.
Wonderful.
Hashtag soap jokes. Anyway, John.
And 8:23, going back 15 seconds, Mark. And hey, Kev, it's really great to be joining you for the first time on the podcast tonight.
Yeah, really great to have you. Obviously, a former contributor to blog.playtogga.com. Yeah.
What have you guys been talking about?
Talking a little bit about fantasy. So tell us, John, who are your sits for match week 27?
Well, obviously, apart from the fact that everyone needs to be cognizant that there are only eight, so you need to be looking to replace steadfast players like Bellerin and Nacho Monreal, Paul Dumit, maybe if you have him from Newcastle, or...
Paul Dumit, by the way, short of Billy Jones, is the worst Premier League footballer that exists.
Is David Dunn no longer playing in the Premier League? Is that
interesting. Also, Jose Enrique, who I think is still technically on Liverpool's squad.
Well, I know that we're paying him a lot. I don't know that I've seen him play. But I mean, like,
by the way, I mentioned to a Newcastle fan that the deal where Jose Enrique could have gone back to Newcastle so they wouldn't have to start Paul Dummett was a win-win. And Zach Forster, who's been on the EPL and FPL roundtables, was like, is that really a win for anyone? And I have to agree that it probably wouldn't be.
I'm sure Liverpool would be happy not to be paying a salary. But, like, you know, it's kind of one of these catch-22s, right? Like, I think I mentioned earlier that I have five Tottenham defenders in my top 40 for the ranks this week. And it's really a matter of I'm going to play a back five of Robert Huth, Virgil van Dijk, Hector Bellerin, Eric Dier, and an as-yet-to-be-determined defender who I will determine during the end of this podcast. And four of those guys will be in my lineup this weekend. I'm shying completely away from all of the I'm happily selling all of the players that are on a postponed match this week, knowing that I can afford to use one or two of my transfers later to bring in a double game week defender. But I think it's the Southampton crew. Since Fraser Forster came back, it's six clean sheets on the spin. I am not particularly worried about them conceding a boatload to Chelsea. They may not get a clean sheet, and that's fine. But even a resurgent Chelsea is susceptible to being hit on the break. That team does not defend well down the flanks, and that is how Southampton is going to look to attack them. So I'm comfortable starting Ryan Bertrand. I'm comfortable starting Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah, no arguments.
Attack them
for
with
me.
Who? Who are they going to attack them with? Sadio Mane?
Who starts every other week?
Charlie Austin, Shane Long, Graziano Pelle, Dusan Tadic, Sadio Mane.
Can I talk about Shane Long for a second?
Can I just name all of Southampton's squad?
That's okay. Don't worry about it. That was last year. So Shane Long. So one of my good friends and also a guest on the EPL roundtable, Guto Llewellyn, who is Welsh, was talking to me about Shane Long. I asked him, why is Shane Long so annoyingly good at headers? And apparently he was a professional hurler back in the day. Hurling, of course, as we all know, is a long-standing game. And by all know, I mean I didn't even know about back in the day. But apparently just a lot of jumping is involved. And that apparently this is why Shane Long, who is a tiny, diminutive man, is able to get on so many leaping headers. So anyway, God bless out there to all the hurling players and Shane Long, who hurling is an entirely amateur sport, so I had to choose very early on between hurling and being a Premier League footballer, and probably decided the right way. All right, so now that we've gone on from there, we've already done the commercial thing, right?
Yeah, we did one.
Oh, great. Awesome. Great forethinking from me before we kept drinking.
Then we did that one for Irish Spring also, so that's two.
Right, we did two Irish Spring. That is a correct statement. Okay, so, John, we are going to move into our £65 million challenge against the kind folks over there at Anfield Index Fantasy Football Show. And by kind, I mean jerk faces that change the rules at the very last second. Otherwise, we already would have won in, as I said already, our £65 million challenge. So, John, we'd be interested to get your thoughts. Our £65 million challenge team, by the way, I do get $10 for every time I say the words £65 million challenge. That's a lie. I'm just being super repetitive right now. Our current team, Harry Kane, Dele Alli, Mikel Antonio, Johnny Howson, my boy, who you've also pimped this week, Kevin Vimmer, Cameron Borthwick-Jackson, Eric Peters, Adrian, Odion Ighalo, Marco Arnautovic. Where do you think we should go?
I think you should probably name those players either by position or possibly in alphabetical order, but not how you just said them.
I absolutely will not do that. Rob, what are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are this, that we do not have enough Fox on the team right now.
And we what need does to make three- the Fuchs say? Again, exactly. Shout outs to Dylan.
So my three transfers for this week are... We are going from Adrian to Schmeichel, Vimmer to Fuchs, and Firmino to Mahrez. Those are my three moves.
Whoa. So a couple of problems. First of all.
Sure.
If we're not upgrading any of those positions, other than Bimmer to Fuchs. We're
bringing in the best player possible in the
Premier
League.
No. But listen, if we're only going from Adrian to Schmeichel, we don't need to switch out Bimmer.
Yeah, we do.
No, we really don't. Okay, so currently we are on 64.9, okay? So moving from Firmino... Okay, so this is the first question. Actually, it's not a question because I asked the Infield X guys and they didn't get back to me in time. Do we earn the 0.2 points from Firmino going up while we owned him? Because I think we do.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think we discussed it, but I would imagine we do.
Right?
But you don't earn 0.2. You're only going to earn the 0.1 because you're going to have to sell him.
Oh, no. It's not the sell-on value. John doesn't count because you like Firmino, so you want to agree with us because we're saying Firmino's great.
Listen, Roberto Firmino should be priced at roughly £19 million in the official game.
Great. Just saying, like, so with those £19 million added to our current 64.5, we have a math number. Okay. But so, John, you're impartial and whatever. Do we get those points? You're saying we just get 0.1 because in the official game, that's what you're selling for?
I think you have to follow the rules of the official game. So you're only going to end up getting half that price. But like, I also think that shift from Adrian to Schmeichel is not necessarily the best shift this week.
Right.
Because, I mean, I think all of us are touting various Norwich players. And the only way that makes sense is if we believe that Leicester's going to give up a goal. And if you believe that Leicester's going to give up a goal, which I personally do, I don't see any reason to be investing additional.
Three different. Yeah. No, I absolutely agree with that. So
Leicester's given up two goals in their last six home games. Just letting you know.
It's true. But Rob, listen to me, homie. Okay, so if we're moving from the law firm, a.k.a. Bobby Firmino, a.k.a. John Wallen's love interest.
How about this input? How about this? I don't really care anymore. Just make the move.
Okay, all right. Well, this is all I'm saying. Is that if we move from Firmino...
$65 million challenge. Okay, good. What's our moves?
Hey, Rob, can you and I do a partner podcast to this podcast in which we just critique the podcast?
Okay, Rob, listen to me. We're talking math now, right? So moving for Firmino, who we're now saying is 8.1 instead of 8.2 because of John and his mixed allegiances because Anfield Index all like Liverpool. And we drop down to Mahrez, that gives us 0.9, right? Moving from CBJ up to Fuchs is 0.8. So now we are plus 0.1 to the good on top of our 64.9, so we're plus 0.2 to the good, okay. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So to make our third move, we can move up from Adrian to whoever you'd like at goalkeeper. If you want to go...
I wouldn't even move up. I would just move from Adrian to Fraser Forster.
See, that's what I said. No, it's not. That's a lie. That's blatantly untrue. I said we should move to Butland, who has two very nice fixtures against Aston Villa and Newcastle. Rob, argue with me.
I don't really want to argue right now. It's fine.
I like this, Rob. Rob, what's going on, man?
I'm not arguing.
Okay, that's fine. So moving
whatever
up to...
Whatever you just said is completely fine with me.
Moving up to Butland would be an extra 0.3 over what we have. We'd have to do other moves or do the Vimmer deal. Or should we just move out CBJ, who we're not sure who will start both weeks, and they can triple captain next week. If we do that, then we can either stick with Adrian, which I think we don't want to do, as they face Sunderland and Tottenham, who we mentioned Sunderland could get a cheeky goal, and Tottenham, one of the better attacks in the league, because Tottenham
we'd be playing against ourselves, because we own Ali and Kane, so we don't want
true.
Adrian.
Yeah, you don't want that. So, would you rather go to Butland?
Butland's fine, and then we double up with Peters. That's fine.
Right, double up with Peters and double up with Leicester's instead of tripling up on Leicester. That sound okay?
That's fine.
Okay. So, for the Infield Index guys eventually listening back to this to make sure that we did it all in accordance with the rules, we are moving, officially, we are moving the law firm, a.k.a. Bobby Firmino, a.k.a. the poster of him naked that's up in John Wallen's room right now, to Riyad Mahrez at 7.2. We are moving Cameron Borthwick-Jackson, a.k.a. CBJ, a.k.a. my love interest, to Christian Fuchs, who we both love and is the official wingback of the FPL Roundtable. And we will be moving Adrian over to Jack Butland. And I definitely didn't do that because I forgot his name for a second. So those are the official moves. Come at us, bro. We're currently winning 60-57. John Wallen, what are your initial thoughts to that move?
I mean, I'm playing my wild card this week. I'm bringing in Butland and Forster.
You're bailing on two keepers in 1 week. Oh, wait, you're wild carding.
I'm wild carding, and my keepers are Rob Elliott and Simone Mignolet. Probably bailing on both of them is a little bit overdue. But as I just said.
You're giving up on Miggs?
Yeah.
But he has a 5-year contract, which all Liverpool fans unanimously liked.
Yep. Yeah, we did. We had a meeting. And it was remarkable. It was overwhelming. We printed up T-shirts.
That's why we've never heard a bad word on Twitter about it.
We're not allowed to tell you guys about that. But, that's cool. And then we promptly all went out, sold him, and bought Fraser Forster. So, you know, 6 clean sheets in a row. I should probably mention he's only had 6 starts. So that's a clean sheet of start. And the way the rest of this season plays out is phenomenal. I mean, Chelsea at home, whatever, and this week is a little bit rough, and that's why I brought in Butland. But Bournemouth, Sunderland, Stoke, that's fine. Liverpool at home, Leicester away, those are both maybe iffy. Newcastle, Everton, Villa, those are clean sheets. City at home, Spurs away, a little bit rough, and then Palace. But you're looking at a keeper there who's just, he's going to crush the rest of the season, guys. He's put up 42 points in 6 weeks. On a point per minute basis, he's the best goalkeeper in fantasy. On a clean sheet per minute basis, obviously that's a bit unfair. He's unparalleled. And I'm 100% confident that he's going to do what he needs to do. I like the rest of the moves that you're making for your challenge. I don't like the way that the guys from Anfield's fantasy football podcast are both changing the rules on you and not having me on. I mean, both those things.
You're a Liverpool fan. You seem like you should have been the shoe-in.
I know you, right? I mean, if you go on, the most listened to podcast in American soccer history, and you tout Roberto Firmino to the detriment of your career, you would think you could at least get on a fantasy podcast that's based on the Anfield Index Network.
And which we mentioned, we did have Bobby Firmino the last 2 weeks earning us 19 points.
Well, yeah, word. I'm just saying,
he's a baller, yo. Hope you like getting bald. We said no more community references, and I lied, and I'm sorry for that. Okay, so if you're listening to this, we just passed the hour mark, and we usually try to keep it an hour. But screw that. We have John Wallen on, a terrific guest. We all started drinking before the show happened, so we're just going to keep the joy going. We're going to hit you with our captains of the week. John, you are our honorable guest. You may take the lead on this.
I'm looking at, and this is going to sound crazy because I think Riyad Mahrez is probably going to be the consensus captain's pick going up against Norwich at home. Obviously, he's been fine. I think Dimitri Payet is probably going to be the number 2 captain of the week at home against Sunderland in that early match. I'm going to captain Troy Deeney. I believe in Troy Deeney. I understand all of Rob's issues there. He did hit a brace last time out against Crystal Palace. That brace did break a weird... Yeah, 7 match unscored, non-scoring, 0 scoring, whatever streak, in which he also only had 2 assists. But if you go back to the 7 matches directly before that, he had had 6 or 7 goals. He'd had 3 assists. That was really prime Deeney Ighalo Premier League partnership. He's looking good. I don't see any reason why he can't do it against Bournemouth. If you go back to the initial match against Bournemouth, it was a 1-1 draw away. I don't see that happening again here. I think that Watford are particularly well positioned. I love Harry the Hornet. I wish that he would follow me on Twitter. You know, we're both going to slide into that corner flag in about 48. What day is it? About 128 hours when my captain's pick has come through. If you're looking for a secondary pick, I don't want to try and steal anything from anyone here, but
you will.
I think my pick is probably going to be a bit underrepresented, which is why I wanted to bring it up. But I would look actually at Anthony Martial against Arsenal. I think that he's probably the best bet for United to score there. I don't think Arsenal are going to keep a clean sheet. I see that maybe being a 2-2 match rather than a 0-0 match. And I don't like Lingard. I don't think, I mean, luck is luck. But I think that Martial has the ability, as we saw against Liverpool earlier in the season, to beat slow central defenders inside the box. And I think that we've just seen that happen with Barcelona. And I would think that United could probably replicate that success.
Wait, let me get this straight. Did you just compare Anthony Martial to Messi, Neymar, and Suarez?
Yes, he's as good as all three of them, Rob.
To be fair, Martial is the French Thierry Henry, as we joked about on the BO Roundtable, because we hate cops like that.
I thought he was
that.
The French Robert Pires. Is he not the French
Pires? One of my favorite bluffs in my life, and by bluffs, I mean blunders, I was trying to explain to somebody the kind of player that Bruma is, the Portuguese international that's played for Galatasaray, among other clubs. And I was mentioning that he was basically the Portuguese Depay. Now, the issue with that is that I've referenced Depay as the Dutch Ronaldo. So basically, by transitive property, I said that Bruma is the Portuguese Ronaldo. And from that shocking untruth, we will move to Rob, who will tell us his captain of the week.
I'm probably going to stick with the chalk, like John mentioned. I think Mahrez is probably going to be the universal captain this week, and Payet's probably going to be second. I could see a lot of people also jumping on Harry Kane this week, only because he's probably the most popular or most owned besides Vardy option.
The masked crusader this week as well, yeah, as totally. We have confirmed that he's going to be wearing a face mask this week.
I'd also be worried about his fitness, because once you break your nose, it's hard to breathe.
They're going to force him to transfer to Chelsea as well, from what I understand. I mean, you're only allowed to wear a face mask if you play for Chelsea.
Only if he puts his number on it, like everybody else there.
So. we'll have to see at the weekend, but I would agree with John that it does seem to be the trend.
Yeah, so I'd probably stay with the chalk this week, only because of the truncated schedule. I'd stay with Mahrez, Payet. You know, people want to jump on Vardy. They think he's going to. The thing with Vardy is, I think if he scores, he only gets one. Mahrez might get one and an assist. Payet is the complete envelopment of the West Ham offense, so he is a multi-characteristic fantasy player. And I'd probably lean in those directions, Mahrez and Payet.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Rob, because we've gotten to it. Everybody that I've mentioned has already been mentioned, so do what those guys said. All right, so for our teams this week, again, sorry if this is going crazy long, but we have a tremendous guest, and Rob and I are awesome as always. As for me, I already have my next two transfers planned out to make sure I'm okay for match week 30. If you don't know what the big deal about that is, rewind to last week's episode, then realize that I said it was a lot worse than it was going to be, because Manchester City and Tottenham both get bounced, so they do both play in match week 30. My next two moves will be adding Vardy for Ighalo and adding in Virgil van Dijk, a.k.a. BVD, for Aaron Cresswell, who will be missing out that week as well. So those are my next two moves. I'm still trying to decide if I'm going to take a negative four this week to move from Ighalo to Vardy, following my own advice and not theirs. Both of them are saying that pimp out your Watford guys this week. I'm not as convinced, but we will see how all of that breaks down. For this week, I've already made my move, as I mentioned, two episodes ago, I think.
Yeah, we were way ahead.
I moved way too early to bring in Robert Huth instead of Joel Ward, who was about to drop in price. I needed to get them both while they were at 4.5. So any move I make is going to be a minus 4 in total points. John, are you making any moves this week?
Yeah, I think I mentioned a couple times. I'm actually playing my second half wild card this week. So out are going to go a number of players. In are going to come a number of players. I'm targeting Jack Butland, Fraser Forster as my goalkeepers. I'm bringing in Virgil van Dijk as a defender. I famously brought in Jermaine Defoe to captain him not that long ago.
Ballin!
Yeah. And
Has anybody ever called you John Ballin?
I did that. On the last time he was on, I was like, Ballin!
You did! I actually remember that. Good point. State-dependent memory. Google it.
So there we go. So I brought in Jermaine Defoe, and I captained him just ahead of that hat-trick that he had against Swansea, I think it was. And then I promptly ignored my team and left him as my captain for three goalless, assistless endeavors against Tottenham, Bournemouth, and City. So I'm revisiting my team and trying to reevaluate exactly where I need to go. But I'm looking at also replacing Sergio Aguero this week. And while I was on the show with the two of you gentlemen, I wanted to get your take. Are you willing to sell Sergio Aguero this week to ensure that you can start a healthy forward, knowing that Harry Kane may not play because of the broken nose?
I'm not willing to sell him, only because it would take to transfer him out and to bring him back in, and I'm not using my transfer into my wild card until week 36. So no.
Yeah, I'm also keeping Kane this week, as are we in our joint team. All right, so as we wrap things up here, John, first of all, could we both credit the double Windsor with A, our first meetup, and B, being on the sours as the beer of the year trend about 6 months early?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was really impressive. I was like, what? Oh, what is this? And now apparently sours are like the most popular bar among beer snobs.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. I was like, I don't get it. I really don't get it.
John, could you explain it? As we both lived off Prospect Park West, both lived in Park Slope, which is, as we all know, the best part of the borough of Brooklyn. what's your take on sours being now the prevailing beer snob beer over IPAs?
I've been a hardcore beer snob for God knows how long, and so sours in the beer community have been the prevailing beer for the last 100 years. So the fact that it's finally come around to like modicum of mainstream acceptance, but where people are drinking Ghosts is where people are drinking any kind of breaded darker beer, whether it's like a red or a sour brown ale, something like that. It's phenomenal. I've had a number of good experiences drinking quality refreshments with both you gentlemen, to which I will say cheers, as I am also enjoying an Atwater Brewery hop appeal right now. Ale brewed with orange peel.
Ooh.
Yeah, Atwater Brewery, brewed in Detroit. We drink all we can and sell the rest, according to their can. And
where else did we go? We went to Owl Farm back in the day.
Owl Farm is perhaps my favorite bar in all five boroughs in New York. They are phenomenal there. Everyone should go and be very polite. And Double Windsor's fantastic. The good folks at Duke's put us up when Playtaga had their summer ranking summit last summer.
Yeah, Duke's
summer.
Was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah,
what are we doing this year? Do we know yet?
I don't think we know yet. Okay. Maybe Rob Langevin over there is going to have another good idea. I believe he was the one who was touting Duke's.
Not
the one on 19th Street, but the one up on 34th. So maybe he has another good idea.
I think we should go to Foxwoods. I think we should bring the casino to life.
I have no objection to that.
I originally said Vegas, by the way, and I think I may have gotten shot down.
I'm just saying there's a place called the British Bulldog in Denver, which is filled with a lot of good folks. I was over there recently. The bartender's a Newcastle fan, very nice guy. That's my nomination as a trip out to Denver, because not only is beer legal there, but anyway.
Yeah, guys, I mean, I think, and the next time we do ranks, we're going to have a lot to talk about.
And we will do our best to actually be sober during the ranks discussion. No promises during the draft discussion, however.
Yeah, and I'm sure when we're there, we'll probably have the new game that Taga is launching on the draft app, John.
Which is ...
Yeah, so Taga's current app is only for our Perfect 11 Challenge, which is the game that most accurately replicates what a salary cap game is, except, of course, Taga's Perfect 11 is you pick any 11 players in the Premier League, regardless of salary cap, regardless of team affiliation. We're going to take that one step farther, and we're going to make a challenge app that allows you to challenge any other player one-on-one. So rather than just having mini leagues over the course of the season, Rob, you can sit there, you can challenge anybody, any one of your followers, any one of your listeners on the FPL roundtable wants to challenge you. They can just put in your code. They can find Rob Lyman. They can find Kevin DeVries. They can challenge you one-on-one, your 11 against their 11. And we're also bowing to all the many thousands of requests that we've received to make our FPL draft game fully mobile. And when we roll out the new incarnation of our app, we are going to have a fully mobile draft FPL game scored across 20 scoring categories. Both you gentlemen play in our experts league on playtaga.com already, to varying degrees of success.
And by varying, and he means I'm the best around. Nothing you can do will get me down.
And, Kev is currently 17-9 on a 6-game win streak.
Mm-hmm.
Rob also plays. I also play.
Those records have been redacted.
During middling.
And but we will be fully draft operational. Any of your listeners that want to create either a challenge on the Perfect 11 app to be able to challenge you guys or myself, I'm Fantasy Gaffer on Playtaga, can certainly do that. We have a number of other people that are going to be having feature groups. They're going to be really engaging in the challenge app. And then when we come into the 2016-2017 Premier League season, we will be 100% mobile available. If you want to have a 12-team draft on mobile, you will be able to do that. All 12 of your league members will be able to log in online into our app at the same time and conduct a live Fantasy Premier League draft. We will be the only site that's offering that. We will be offering that on the level that you would find on any major media company. We've spent a lot of time listening to all of you, all the guys, everybody that plays in our pro leagues, all of our listeners, all of our players, everybody that comments on our boards. We've incorporated a ton of user requests into that, and we really thank everybody. We thank Kevin and Rob and all the guys at FPL Roundtable and Anfield Index for all their insight and all their support. And we're really proud of what we're about to roll out, and we hope everybody will download it and give us their feedback.
That sounds awesome, John. I can't wait to download the app.
Mm-hmm. And Rob, pimp your stuff, bruh.
As always, you can find me at soccer.rasball.com or on Twitter at smokey_loogie. That's L-O-O-G-Y. And you can find me on this podcast, or I have a new app out. It's you can connect any wire to your phone and pick up any other person's phone legally.
Dude, that's a good app.
I heard about that. What's it called?
It's called Wired Up.
Nice. Isn't that a website?
No, I spelled my wired is a backward D at the end. So it's
like a Russian D? I don't know.
It has two Y's. W-Y-R-Y-D.
Yeah, it's like weird. But I put it like a.
It's like Weird Al, but if you spelled it wrong.
And I have an umlaut over the E.
Nice. I'm Kevin DeVries at Kevruff on Twitter. You can find my player updates over at playtaga.com, which I'm pretty sure we've only mentioned 98 million times. You can also find it over at theeaglesbeak.com, where I have a weekly fantasy article talking about players that you should bring in and take out of your fantasy sides per price point. You can also listen to the FPL Roundtable, which is this. The EPL Roundtable, which is out Fridays and Mondays, all in sports talk, where I appear on Tuesdays to talk about all things Premier League and probably like 7 other things that I forget that I'm doing. But I mention them every week, so you'll be sure to hear them there. It's been a pleasure having you on, John.
Thank you very much, guys. I always love being on with y'all.
Yep, it was great having you on. I don't think Rob asked you a crazy question. We'll get that next
Rob,
time.
Come on, man. Hold on.
We'll do it quick. We'll do it quick.
We're so out of time. Okay, go.
John, what was your nickname growing up and the genesis of it?
Oh, well, unfortunately, my nickname was Johnny, and that's because my father's also named John. And so rather than give me a real nickname, they decided to make my real name much longer.
And just adding an NNY to the end?
My family is the Manchester United of name giving. It's Genev, Bex, Skolzy, Diggsy, Butsy.
Rinaldi.
Rinaldi, Fergie.
Are you sure they didn't be like, oh, another John? Why?
Oh, interesting. And then they just add the Y to the end. A valid point. All right. Well, on that, we are hilariously and insanely out of time. I've been your host, at Kevroff. Rob is at @Smokey_Loogie. John's at Fantasy Gaffer. Follow all of us on Twitter. We'll catch you next week.
Peace.
Hey.
Yeah.